The lack of Unicode support in Ruby is a problem for Rails applications. Julian Julik-Tarkanov talks about how he developed a very nice way to properly handle Unicode data in Rails. This is Thijs van der Vossen from Fingertips Design and Development. I'm happy to bring you a talk from the Rails Show and Tell meeting held in Amsterdam on the 22nd of June 2006.
I would like to talk about the Unicode in Rails, about the fact that it's missing and that you have to know about it and remember, especially considering the country that you're all living and working in, and all the other nice countries around and their alphabets and languages and all that kind of stuff. Now, who I am? My name is Julian. I'm doing my bachelor in Holland for 3 years already in Hogeschool voor de Kunsten Utrecht. It has more to do with video stuff and film and things like editing and such. But I'm also doing websites. I still have clients in Russia who I have to serve. And I also have some clients here. And basically, I use three languages every day to communicate with people on the mailing lists and to communicate with people around me. I use Dutch to communicate on the internet. I use English. And I also keep communicating with Russian people that I know here or at home. And basically, the problem is that I want to use all these languages on the web as well. And there is a guy called Alan Little, and he wrote something great. Just have to remember that. And that's basically the same thing I do with when I see an application. I just type a few Russian characters in it, or I try to open a file with Russian characters in its name with the application. I'll tell you, 60% of them cannot do that. They have problems. For many reasons. The greatest problem is that it's not being tested well. And you really can forget this part, and it's actually very important. You can have one language, English, for your interface, and you can have, for example, all the English spelling and engine if you want to provide spelling, but you're not allowed to break other people's strings. This is something very important. What is Unicode? The Unicode is basically the way to a lot of very, very, very smart computer science people gathered together, and they thought, what is the way that we can get done with all the legacy 8-bit encodings, because you cannot fit all the characters into 8 bits, and how can we actually represent all letters that we might need to use in computers in one table? So Unicode is kind of a gigantic table with all the characters in it. I think currently there are like 45,000 characters in Unicode. And basically it's also the only way to store a string like this one, actually in one place. Because the only other way you have, if you don't have Unicode, you have to transform this into an entity, an XML entity or HTML entity, or you have to convert this to entities, which basically triples your storage, and you cannot search that. So if you want to find the word уехал, which means gone in Russian, you're not going to find it in your database, because then your database needs to decode XML entities inside itself, which is not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. It has to, but it won't. Now, the biggest problem is that in Unicode, a character is not a byte. In Unicode, a character can be... Well, the idea in the beginning was that all characters are going to be 2 bytes. But then, of course, the Japanese people wanted to introduce some new kanji into the mix. So now they have 3, and they will probably extend to 4, I don't know. And another problem is that Unicode speaks in code points. A code point, it's something... Oops. Yeah. Code point is something like... A code point might be a letter. This is the letter SHIP in Russian. The yen character, the sen character, whatever. Code points can be modifiers. That means that you can have an umlaut or the angstrom character. Whatever. You can have direction control code points, which says now we're writing in Hebrew, so we actually have to go from left to right. We have to switch into rendering from right to left. You can have 26 kinds of white space, which includes thin spaces, hair spaces, thin hair spaces, and many, many, many other brilliant things that sometimes you really don't want to have them in your database, really. And you have, of course, smart quotes. Now, the problem with these is that you cannot really approach code points as letters, because then you might be getting an umlaut as a letter alone. And this you don't want to do. This is actually non-trivial to decide, what do I want? If I just want the first, say, two characters from this string, what should happen? Because this is a ligature. It's one Unicode code point. It's a ligature FFE. I can tell you that it can be easily pasted into your application from InDesign. InDesign is widely sold on the market, used by graphical designers. With pleasure. And what should you actually do? Should you actually split this ligature into separate letters and take it as EF? Or should you actually, let it stay a ligature and just say, okay, this is one letter, FFE, for whatever that means. How do you validate that in Active Record? Tell me. That's sort of, Unicode is non-trivial, that's a problem. There are only two environments that handle it okay. This is C# and Java, because they have a lot of big companies that they have to serve, and these big companies would never agree to the fact that you cannot just go and handle these languages. And what they do, they basically say, you have one text encoding for your strings, and this is going to be this one, and just shut up. And that's actually the only way which works, because all the other boys, they wanted to be liberal, you know? And they said, like, well, yes, you can have Unicode strings, and you also can have byte strings, and you can also have 8-bit strings if you want to, because you have a lot of files that you have to read and process quickly. So they allow you to choose, and 90% of developers choose it wrong, or even don't think about it at all. And even in Java, you can actually screw up Unicode, because you can read the file in a way that it's not going to be readable. It's very easy. Unicode in Ruby is a disaster. You just have to know that. K code, something that you have to, that you're said to set K code to you, the only thing it works for is for parsing the source and for configuring your regular expressions. Parsing the source, it means that if you type a Unicode string in Ruby source, then it gives you a parse error, unless you use K code. Oniguruma, the regular expression engine that should handle Unicode, and which was developed specifically for Ruby, is still not on by default. It's even used right now in programs such as Sabathe Edit on the macOS, but it's still not in Ruby, although it was made for it. Matt promises that he's going to make the so-called M17N engine. And actually, nobody has any idea how it's going to work, because he wants to please everybody. He says, if somebody wants to read his files in ShiftGIS, and he's got a lot of files of ShiftGIS, he should just be able to use ShiftGIS. And the American guys say, well, we actually would like to handle Unicode, but we still have so many SKI files, and we like to process them really, really fast. To which I always say, no, you will spend your processor cycles on processing my language properly, but this is the side. And actually, we have to do it now. We need Unicode in Rails yesterday. And we cannot wait till it happens. This is what's going to happen if you're not careful. Because if your client types this and you just reverse that, then this character cannot be even displayed. Because what it's going to do, it's going to take a letter, letter A, with an accent, which consists of two code points, and it's going to actually reverse the code point inside itself. It's going to reverse two bytes. The problem that you don't know about this is the fact that you use UTF-8, and UTF-8 keeps all SKI letters inside one byte. So as long as you don't type this character, you actually don't know that that something is fishy in your application. This is the worst part, because like this, you just slice pieces out of letters, and this stuff, for example, it will break your web services. Because when it gets into an XML message, the XML message becomes invalid. It's an invalid Unicode sequence. If you split, just as if you split a word like this, it's not going to split the ligature for you. So it's going to say, well, okay, this is a word with that many characters, although you know that you actually have three characters in one. That's the best. That's the very good intro. If people are asking me, like Russian programmers, well, should we try Ruby on Rails? Should be really cool. I say, yeah, but don't go to try Ruby. because this makes my language six times as expressive. Now, this is a problem. And you just have to be aware of that, because Django also has some problems with it. As long as you the problem with Unicode is that as long as you don't go deep enough, it seems that you can solve it easily. Now, the problem is that the core Rails team is not interested in internationalization because they don't distribute their applications in multiple languages. And in the beginning, they didn't care about Unicode either. But as soon as they launched Basecamp wide enough, they actually started getting complaints that it just freaking damages the stuff people type there. And then they converted their database to UTF and they started actually accepting bug reports for that stuff. But the problem is that you in Ruby, by default, you don't have access to locale information, so you cannot output a date formatted properly. You don't have any translation things built in, and then you have this Unicode thing, which we're talking about now. Now, what is there to solve it? There is the so-called Unicode and MBString extensions. The problem with Unicode extension is that it's 7 years old, and as I remember, the Unicode standard has changed three times since then. So it doesn't pass any conformance tests right now. We're working on it. There were my overrides that I developed, because I thought that you can do the same as what's being done in PHP, is that you just go and just handle byte strings as Unicode. So if you have to count the length, then you just count the code points instead. So you can say that the string is actually 4 characters long and not 9 bytes or something. It makes stuff work mostly, but the big problem is this. Ruby has a lot of very low-level code that needs byte-level access to strings. In PHP, you don't know this because this stuff is just, it's put into C. The PHP is not going to output content length by itself. Ruby will. And when it wants to know the content length in bytes, you sure as hell don't want it to send your content length in Unicode code points or whatever. You just want to send it bytes. Of course, the thing that calculates the content length and sends it doesn't know that you are now calculating code points. So your web server says, well, this document is actually 400 bytes long, and as a matter of fact, it's 800. So you can really have some problems with that. There is the solution number two, which is actually in my opinion, the best. There are bindings for ICU4R. ICU is International Components for Unicode. And it's an absolutely gigantic swamp of C++ and Java for making really, really, really well internationalized Unicode applications enterprise-wise. It's like 20 megabytes download. And there are bindings for it. The problem is that it uses UTF-16, while we in Rubyland usually speak UTF-8. And the thing is that it's not really compatible with native Ruby strings. I can show you a little how it works. I hope. As I wanted to show some code to illustrate what all that stuff means. Boom. Just have a little patience. Yeah, right. Now, what you get, let's say you have your K code. Now it's UTF-8 because it's inside one of my applications. You just have to run with K code on UTF-8, not the point. But if I type, say, the same thing, type the word text in Russian and say what its length, it says 10. Well, I don't believe him. What you can do, you can also say that you want to get a Unicode string out of it. That's what ICU4R gives you. It says, okay, these are code points, this, 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 and this. And then if you want to convert it back to a Ruby string, then you have to do this. You cannot simply, for example, glue... this is actually something called UString. This is something ICU4R gives you. The problem, you cannot really comfortably glue these two strings together. You cannot really take a Ruby UTF-8 string and then glue it to U string, and it depends on the order of arguments. Essentially, this is the same bullshit that you get with Python. If we're speaking frankly, because let me tell you, it sucks. Because that's where it gets you. Because you never, never, never know which encoding a library expects. I remember some guy was writing about how he's implementing Unicode in his Python application. And he had like four libraries he used. I guess it was CherryPy and SQL Object and something else. And he had to encode and recode like in four different places just so that the libraries get the strings they really expect. And then they have this. If you've never seen that, well, you didn't really try to do Unicode in Python. Because I don't think it's really a good idea that you have to decode everywhere and you have to do it manually. Python 3000 has decided on that already, that they're just going to freaking abolish the ASCII strings, because in scripting language it's just ridiculous to have. And that everything will have to be just Unicode aware or die. And this is the only way to get something in. Then there is this solution, which we think right now is somewhat better, because it doesn't distinguish strings which are in Unicode and strings which are not. Because the problem is, if you say, well, I have a class of Unicode string or some other string, and I have a class of normal string, you never really figure out properly which ones you get. If you get a CGI request coming in, how do you know if you're getting Unicode string objects from there or just string objects? You never know. If you install some library that does text searching, how do you know which strings it's going to return? In Perl, it becomes an absolute mess. In Python 2, because you actually really have to check if you're getting a Unicode string or not from a library. So what we do, we use this chars thing. The chars thing is for accessing characters. It's explicitly saying, well, I have the string, but I want to work with it as characters, please. It's a very important distinction. It tries to be smart. It's not very smart, because this stuff, for example, might confuse the hell out of you in the first place. But how it works is basically this. I have this text thing, and then I say chars, then length. It saves me that it's 5 characters long, so you don't have to know that, well, if I get some kind of string, I actually have to do this to find out how long is it. Because this is just ridiculous to remember, if you have to know how the hell long it is. So what you do, you just handle chars. Chars is sort of a proxy object. It actually does everything that the string does, but it just filters the methods which are particularly dangerous. So if I say that I want to have an index of I guess it's this method, right? No, it's another E. But the point is that you also have to translate. I don't remember exactly, but we have also things like if you want, for example, to do a regular expression search on a string, it gets you an offset in bytes, which is also not very convenient. If I say that I want to match this for the occurrence of, say, I'm sorry, but I'm mostly running on my G5, and there the keyboard layout is different, so sometimes it's messy. Let's clean that. Yeah, right. It tells me that it's actually a 2, so it means that my E, which is actually a letter with index 1, it tells me that my letter is actually at the 3rd byte, which is absolutely useless for me to know. But as far as I remember, if you do this, and it tells you the right thing. Why is this needed? Let's say you have a big post on a blog, and you just want to, and then you say, well, it would be nice to just truncate it to the first 100 characters and just put a dot, dot, dot after it. Ha! Ha! It's not trivial stuff, because you might want to split it like this, you might want to split it otherwise. You might want to say, for example, in Unicode I have characters which actually don't count, all these direction modifiers and very thin spaces and soft line breaks. Maybe I don't want to count them as characters at all. You actually have to think about that stuff. What it also does, if you have an invalid byte string which is not Unicode, then it's going to handle that just as a byte string. So all the stuff that should work, it just keeps working. You can also use these characters objects to do sorts. So you can substitute strings with them. You can make an array of chars objects, and you can sort this array, and it's going to be as if you're sorting strings. The characters objects are equal to the strings that they represent. So you can go pretty far with using this just as a proxy. And you can also chain the calls to characters. So you can say, I want to reverse the characters, and when what's the length? Oh, the length is 4. So it actually passes the characters object down the call chain.
What would characters reverse return?
Characters reverse, in this case, would return A, F, A, C.
Yeah, okay, but would it return a string object? Or?
It would return a string wrapped in the character's proxy. I think it's better if I show you. If I say text characters reverse, then it's this. It's something we call active support multi-byte character, because I think it's really the best way to explain what we're actually trying to achieve. But if you say this, then it's just going to be a string. So if you say text characters reverse, say uppercase, then it's going to pass another character's object with a string inside it, etc., 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 etc. I just call chaining with a proxy. And we try to keep this object exactly, we're not return a string directly, so that you can keep working inside the character space instead of the byte space. And what is also nice is that if we want, we can actually have a chars handler that works with shift-js, for instance. It also might not be a big problem. And we also can swap Unicode implementations. We're currently looking which one is faster for stuff that we need to do in Rails. There is this thing called composition and normalization. This is something that really sucks in Unicode. And as all things which suck tremendously, it comes from backwards compatibility. It's the process of removing alternate representations to convert the data into a form that can be binary compared for equivalence. So basically what it means is that you can have two strings which have absolutely different structure byte-wise, but which are actually equal. You can say that the ligature is actually 3 characters. In the normalization form KC compatibility, it's 3 characters, so it's going to need to be equal to FFE. In some other forms, no. If you use the normalization form C, it's going to stay a ligature. I don't know if you want to send ligatures through your web services. I wouldn't. This might be 2 letters, actually. This might be the O and then the modifier, which puts a stripe inside it. This I wouldn't want either. I would want this as a letter. So what I do what I mostly do is that I just normalize all incoming Unicode strings in the parameters so that they all uniform. And I do it with NFKC, which is destructive, but it's just saner than keeping all of these funky characters in your database and in your program. Because without NFKC, you can have the special Unicode code points for 1/2. This is like 1/2, the fraction. And this is going to be 1 character. This is what we are coming up now with. Me, Thijs, and Manfred, and a couple of very smart guys in Moscow, and 1 smart guy in Berlin. And what we're trying to do is, we really want that to be a part of Rails. Because we think that there is some kind of baseline stuff that you need to be able to do with Unicode before Matt decides on his great internationalization engine, and we're going to get it, which is told to happen in 1.5 years, but I don't believe. We just got to have something which is built into Rails and to which Rails developers are accustomed, And the greatest thing in it is not handling, say, Unicode absolutely correct, because it's just very difficult to do it absolutely right. But to have some baseline stuff so that you know that if you get strings from people, you're not going to break them. Because people don't like when you break their text. Even Basecamp breaks my text sometimes. Stuff to watch out for when you do Unicode development, and if you live in this country, you are doing it already, you just don't know. As I said, because you have all the funky German people going around, and all the French and all the Turkish people, and basically everybody. First of all, the case insensitive regular expression don't work. Don't use them. Never use them, because if you want to match some kind of string, well, it's just going to fail. Even with the new regular expression engine in 1.9, they don't work because Matt wants to be greedy and he doesn't put the complete tables for case folding into the language. He said that he's going to fix that. Another stupid thing, so this, thanks Matt, XML Builder escapes all Unicode characters because SimRuby thinks that it's really funny to debug my feeds as XML entities. He thinks it's great because it's going to be very, very clean and very easy to process. I disagree completely, and I think this is just fucking ridiculous. So thanks, thank you, SimRuby and Jim Wyrick. YAML converts Unicode strings to Base64 when you write YAML objects to a file, with which you cannot do anything actually properly. So you have to look at YAML as a kind of dump storage. So you put something in there, you can keep it there, you can read it back with Ruby, but don't expect to be able to properly store, say, translation strings in there, because the strings that contain Unicode are going to become Base64 encoded. They're going to be read back in just fine, though. This is something I please. Because if you think that you can still count bytes and be okay, well, it's not. It's really not. There is no such thing as plain text, at least anymore. We don't have text terminals anymore, and we don't have typewriters anymore, and we have smart quotes, and we have ligatures, and we have 45,000 characters. Please do patches and extensions which deal with this kind of stuff, because the situation with international applications as Rails is somewhat abandoned, because the key maintainers don't bother, and they still don't have anybody who handles that in the core team. The Django guys have Hugo Bauer, who lives in Münster, and of course he cares about umlauts. We were actually joking that if David Einemeyer Hansen had at least one properly Danish letter in his last name, he would care more. Now, write emails when stuff doesn't work properly, because such as this deal with XML Builder, it's just freaking ridiculous. It can't be. Test that stuff, which means type the funky characters into your applications in great quantities. The more you do, the better. Test your validations if they check the length the right way, the way you want it. Check what happens if you put that stuff into web services. Check how Markdown and Textile works, and all kinds of string, especially all kinds of regular expression and string processing and parsing that you do, has to be Unicode aware. Just not to be discussed. Have at least one foreign developer on the team, or at least the person who uses funky characters for writing his mother tongue, because it's like a litmus test. He's going to type stuff into your application, and within 2 days he's going to be able to find some stuff which is severely broken. You just didn't know. And please help us get the character successor into Rails, because we just want it to be an integral part, and we would really love Rails developers to handle that properly from the get-go, instead of downloading 20 megabytes of libraries, compiling them, thinking about it, etc., etc. It just has to work. Some stuff to read. Paul Batley is a great guy in the UK, who's busy with Unicode and Ruby for a long time. Unfortunately, he was at the last Euroconf in Munich, but this was my birthday, and I wanted to attend some different stuff on that day. And there is Blogamundo, which is the evolution of the Infinitibulum blog, where the guy is also really, really, really busy with different languages in computers and the Unicode. And he even made strips with Unicode code points. And thank you. And this, I want you to take it personally, because this program doesn't handle Russian. I live with it for 10 years already, and it's just silly. I would love you to have questions.
Is there a page somewhere on the web with examples of things you can test and show your names asking clean?
Well, there is a page on there is a page with the documentation for this plugin, and this plugin can be just grabbed from the Subversion repository, and there are links on the sites of fingertips. Currently, we are looking for backends that we have to use, because Unicode normalization is processor intensive. I mean, it takes some time to do that stuff, and we currently have ICU4R, we have this Unicode GIM, and we have a pure Ruby normalizer and case folder probably within a week, so that you can do it correctly, even that you can compile.
And if you're looking for string material to test your own application, we just use Google and look for something like Unicode tests. There's a lot of stuff out there which you can just copy and paste from your web browser into your application and run them.
If you in a Rails application, if you forget to set your database encoding to UTF-8, what happens?
This is something which is actually easy to explain. Now, the thing is, databases were actually the first to start to support it somewhat normal. Postgres was the first, and MySQL followed. This is the idea that you can have a database in one encoding, but you can switch the encoding of the client, and it will use either its own tables or the iconv to actually convert the stuff it pulls from the database and send it to the client, for instance, to a PHP script and a Ruby script. And what's going to happen is that you're just going to get, in some cases, you're going to get question marks, because the Unicode characters are going to be replaced with the question mark as the character you cannot display. If it sticks, for instance, to SQL SQI, then it most probably just going to replace your characters with question marks, and which means I don't have this character in my repertoire in this encoding that you want. In Postgres, I don't remember exactly what's going to happen. Besides, I never tried, because I usually have everything tuned for Unicode up front. It's just the only sane way to do what I need to do.
But then your patches would also have to, let's say, have some education material.
Well, they would have to, and they do. I guess the part of the slides are going to go in there, and we want to spread the love, and most importantly, attention. Because the way it is in Rails, we want the solution to be built in into Rails and not into Ruby, because Ruby people have problems with Unicode. It's all Japanese, and it's actually somewhat better than in Python, because you don't have to distinguish strings yet.
And the plugin currently, at least for Postgres and MySQL, sets some when you make a connection with the database, the plugin sets some variables or whatever is needed for the database server to use UTF-8 names or whatever. You still have to make sure that your table is in UTF-8.
And that your database is in UTF-8. And if you are running Postgres, then you have to make sure that the locale of the Postmaster user is also set to UTF-8 locale. This is very important, because Postgres is always locale dependent, and it's never noted in the manuals. But the point with setting the encoding is actually very simple. Is that Rails reuses one database connection. As you start a dispatcher, it just sits on the database connection and reuses it. That requests as requests come in. At some point, this connection just goes away. It falls off, because MySQL disconnects you after, say, 30 minutes of idle time. And my experience is in many libraries that when the library has to reconnect to the database, it's never going to send your set names whatever once again. Even if you say to the library, well, you know, my character set that I want to use is UTF-8. Yes, it's going to do that once, as it establishes the connection initially, but if it has to reconnect, it's not going to do that. So just to be absolutely sure that the right thing is set, we do it in a before filter, yeah.
You've been listening to a talk from the Rails Show and Tell meeting, held in Amsterdam on the 22nd of June 2006. If you'd like to find out more about our meetings, please visit Fingertips Design and Development at www.fngtps.com.